But let's go on and get to the message this morning, finding God's comfort. The Hebrew word for comfort, actually, let's go ahead and take a look at Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40 and look at verse 1. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. The Hebrew word for comfort there also means to ease your suffering. To ease your suffering, to comfort. That's what we want right now, is for our suffering to be eased. If not just our physical suffering in the world right now, well, then also our emotional suffering. While we struggle being isolated, alone, we want comfort right now. This week, you may have suffered through ordering food differently. Maybe you had to order food online, and that was a struggle for you and your family. Maybe it's that the stores were, a lot of the stores were closed, and so you couldn't find the store that was open, or dealing with toilet paper, with the shelves being empty and having to figure that out, or perhaps cooking during times that you're not used to cooking because you're able to go to your favorite restaurant and you could. This makes us feel uncomfortable. We don't like feeling uncomfortable. Today I intend to help you find comfort in God's word today. Before we begin, I want to take a slight detour into the scriptures. If you look at verse 4, let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rough places a plain. Isaiah is often considered the fifth gospel in the Bible. I don't know if you've heard that statement before, but Isaiah is quoted 66 times in the New Testament. 66 times, and Isaiah is quoted in almost every book in the New Testament, with some exception. And in all of these quotes, it is pointing out that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. This verse, in verse 4 that we have on your screen there, it's preceded by a verse that describes John the Baptist, who proclaims that Jesus was going to come, that John the Baptist, which pointed out to Jesus and calling him the Lamb. But verse 4 is not referring to John the Baptist. Verse 4 is referring to Jesus himself. John couldn't fulfill verse 4. Verse 3, yes, but verse 4, no. This is referring to Jesus. It is about the transformation of a life that is in Christ Jesus. Yet in times like right now, when the news has wall-to-wall coverage about the virus and about some about politics, the election going on, the way forward for us can start to seem a little muddied. It can start to see a little crooked and rough again. It's hard to see that way forward. Today, I'm speaking to you on the subject of comfort and strength. Our comfort and strength can easily be found in the Lord. I want to show you how to put this into practice today, how to have your comfort and strength in the Lord today. Let's begin with verse 10 and verse 11. See, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Our comfort begins with this truth: the Lord cares about you. God cares about you. He is likened unto a fantastic shepherd. God is a great shepherd, and with a strong hand and a strong arm. Oftentimes, when in the Bible even, when we talk about a strong hand and a strong arm, we think of violence. We think of the violence that takes place with strength. Strength, it can often be a show of power. It can also at times refer to our capability. We have the strength. But with God, it also means comforting hands. Hands which gather us in His arms. Hands which comfort us and carry us through even the toughest of times. When we were a child, we can think back to when we were a child and when we were hurting or sad and we wanted to be comforted by our parents. We were so thankful, so glad to have our parents' strong arms to hold us and comfort us. In like manner, for those that are married, perhaps your wife, or perhaps you yourself, want your spouse, you want your husband to wrap their strong arms around you when you're hurting, or when something bad has happened. You want that strength wrapping around you. Likewise, God has strong arms to hold us safe. God has strong arms that He can carry us through. We are comforted in this way by His promises and by His Spirit in our lives. We see God's hand. We see God's strength at work in our lives. We have those promises. We have His Spirit to hold us and keep us. God also uses His strong hands to feed His sheep. Cattle feed can easily weigh 50 pounds, if not more. It takes strong arms to feed the cattle. It takes strong arms to feed all those cows or those sheep. It takes strength. And we are the sheep, the Bible shows us. The Lord is the shepherd, and He is strong to feed us. Feeding indicates God's role in guiding us in our everyday lives. God guides us each and every day. He feeds us, nourishes us by His Word and by His Spirit. We are so very dependent on our shepherd. The majority of time we can be strong on our own, and I'll be honest about that. We can be strong and on our own. At the most, we might say a prayer. We might give God thanks for helping us through the day, even though we can be strong on our own. Even though we have that strength on our own, we might acknowledge our dependence on Him. But we are able to work hard. We can work hard because God's given us that ability. We can work hard and get things done and be determined. And we should remember, because God gave us that ability, God gave us that strength, we should give God thanks for all of this, for what He has given us. And yet, there are times we need God to carry us. We can't see a way through. The captain and his crew aboard a ship, a fishing boat. Suddenly the clouds rolled in. Suddenly the waters began to go up and down. They began to rise and fall. It begins to pour down rain. The captain cannot see a thing. He can't see what's in front of him. He just sees the waters rise and fall and the clouds and the rain, and the crew begins to fear. So the captain, and they begin to say, how will we survive this? So the captain, being a good captain, stands up and he's seasoned, and he knows how to use his compass. And he says, we will make it through. We know how to do this. We will make it through, even though there is a storm in front of us. Our Father is a shepherd. He's like that captain. He's a shepherd to us, calling us gently to His side. Even though in these tough times, we don't always see what's down the road. We don't always see what's right in front because of the storm that we go through. Our captain, our shepherd God, calls us gently to His side, like a good shepherd, and carries us through. God is faithful even when we don't see Him. Look at verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongues fail for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. God's faithfulness has been badly misunderstood at times. We often judge God by our physical world, by what we see around us, by what we feel in our body. We judge God a lot by our physical world. Do I have everything I need? Am I feeling okay today? Yet, even in this, I see that God is faithful. Look around us. Our needs are being met, and even if we had a struggle, there are others to be able to help, just like a church body, just like I've seen many of our church members reaching out to others in our church. God is faithful even in that. But yet God, this is misunderstood often. God is often judged by whether good things or bad things happen. Yet the Bible tells us, God tells us in His Word, that bad things do happen. God is faithful in giving us, through those bad things, through those bad times, God is faithful in giving us wisdom through the hard time. I've preached this a lot here in church, that God doesn't always take us out of the storm. He takes us through the storm, and God gives us that wisdom. He's faithful with us through the hard times, and through it all, God provides that comfort, that peace that we need in our lives, that peace that He gives unto you. The truth is that the best judge of God's faithfulness is in the invisible, not in the physical, not in what we see or what we experience, but in the invisible. Christians, let me explain. Christians need to not devalue the significance of God's presence in their life, in the toughest of times, in their troubles. We need to not devalue God's presence through those times. That is God's Spirit with you. That is God's Spirit in you and with you through those tough times. God guides by His Spirit. He guides and He comforts us, the Bible tells us. That same Spirit, God's Spirit, guides other believers to assist and meet others' needs. Again, we miss God's faithfulness because we're looking for a physical God for some reason, and we do not see we don't see this physical God to radically change our problem. That's what we often are looking for, and we misunderstand God's faithfulness in the situation. Rather, God often, most of the time actually, guides us through the problem by His Spirit with the help, and often with the help of others. God, our shepherd, cares about us. Now let's begin to stretch out our faith towards this great shepherd of ours. Look at the next verse here, verse 12 through 13. Well, we're actually going back a little bit. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselors has taught, or as His counselor has taught Him? The question is asked, and the answer is no one. No one is like our God. Now God's comfort is starting to get within our grasp. We're understanding God's comfort in these tough times. It is time to put a big faith in a big God. It's okay to wonder about God. When we talk about faith, I just want to tell you, it is okay to wonder about God. Job wondered where God was in his physical struggles. When he was going through all his physical pains, he wondered where God was in all of that. King David wondered why God was blessing his enemies. Oh God, why am I here going through this struggle, and yet You're blessing, seemingly blessing my enemies? Why? The Apostle Paul wondered about why God was allowing his thorn in his flesh to remain. It's okay to wonder, but we tend to wonder in two different ways. The first one, where is God in my struggles? Why am I still hurting? Why am I still feeling the way I feel, even though I've prayed about it? Even though I've sought God for my struggles and my hurts and my pains, why am I still continuing to go through all of this? God, where are You in all of this? Why am I struggling, continuing to struggle with sinful thoughts, even though I've prayed about those sinful thoughts again and again? And so the first kind of way we wonder is about our struggles. The second way we wonder is how wonderful God is, how great an amazing God is. How did God speak all this into being? How did He do all of that? How does God keep the atoms and the molecules together? How did God create magnetic induction and electricity? How did God do all of that? If you're of a scientific mind, it's one of those things that I often wonder. How smart is God. In a recent movie for The Case for Christ, based on a book which was itself based on the life of Lee Strobel. Strobel, he was an firm atheist, totally opposed to Christianity, until his wife became a Christian. His wife converted and began to go to church. And so he began to investigate, literally investigate and ask people questions about, he would ask Bible scholars about the Bible and about Christianity, about faith. His wondering led him to become a Christian, led him to believe in Christ. Another great example of wondering is the great author C.S. Lewis, a firm atheist and an occultist. And yet he was led back to Christ by his friend J.R. Tolkien. Many of you know him for The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. If you've ever read C.S. Lewis' book, Mere Christianity, that book is full of wonderings. C.S. Lewis asked a lot of questions. But his wonderings at that point were revealing him more and more of how amazing God is. These kinds of wonderings are beautiful. We're seeking answers. God, I believe, firmly believe, that if you're truly seeking for those kinds of answers, you're asking those kinds of questions, if you have those kinds of wanderings, God will lead, he will guide your emotions and your thoughts. He'll lead you to a deeper understanding of himself and of his word. Now, we need to be careful not to allow our wanderings to become disbelief. And that's where we're worried about. That's where we get in trouble. We are warned in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 to 23. I'm going to read all of this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is one who received seed beside the path. But he who received the seed on rocky ground is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, eventually he falls away. He also who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit. Some produce 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Now, I have dedicated whole messages just to this scripture, but let me summarize. The Word of God gets planted in your heart. When you hear the preaching or the teaching, like you're doing right now, the Word of God gets planted in your heart through that teaching, through that preaching. It gets planted, and then what happens with it, what should happen is that it will be fruitful. It will grow. For those who do not get it, who do not understand what is being preached or taught, it quickly loses its appeal. You just don't get it, and it loses its appeal, loses its interest, it loses its excitement, and your wonderings quickly become apathy. Very, very quickly, it turns to just you don't care. For those that understand it, though, the scripture shows us, but you understand it, but you might misunderstand, say, God's faithfulness. When troubles come, your wonderings quickly turn to frustration and then to doubt. Because you get frustrated. Why is all this happening? And because you misunderstand God's faithfulness, it turns to doubt. Well, God wouldn't allow all this to happen. And then suddenly that frustration, that doubt turns to rejection. Well, I don't need this. For those that get it, but have the wrong priorities, perhaps money is more fun, fame is more interesting, these things are more important, God's word gets choked out. It doesn't even matter if the bad times come or the struggles come, because all these other things are more important, so that when these other things do come, it's already not you're already not planted firmly in God's word. You're already, the wanderings are already become an apathy. And last, there are those who understand it. And that, of course, that's what we want God's word to do, to understand and believe it and therefore live it. That is who we want to be. We want God's word to be fruitful, to become fruitful in our lives, to grow, to become something that's a blessing to us that we can live out and experience day by day, that we believe it and we live it. Wonderings are easily met when you have this kind of experience where God's word becomes fruitful. Wonderings are easily met with faith and with experience of God's faithfulness. You know that God is faithful, and God will be faithful to you still. And that's what we want God's word to do. We don't want it to get choked off by frustrations or doubts or misunderstandings of his word. We want to be able to live it and experience it and experience as a result God's faithfulness. So now is the time to have faith in God and to put his comfort within our reach. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Mark, he tells us, have faith in God. We begin in this life, this Christian experience, by faith. We begin by establishing his word in our heart. We begin to read it for ourselves. We begin to believe it. We begin to have that faith in God. With God's word established, I would say pray for God to reveal his faithfulness to you. But as you pray for God to reveal his faithfulness to you, have the right expectation regarding that faithfulness, of course. But we begin in our Christian experience by having faith and then asking God to reveal his faithfulness to you, then go on to thank God for his faithfulness. Perhaps you already are more blessed than you realize you are or giving credit for. And so we need to go on to give God that credit. We need to give him thanks for his faithfulness in our life. Go on to thank him. And then finally, have the expectation for your prayers to be answered by God in his way and in his time. God is sovereign. We're not in control of God. I don't want to be in control of God. God has his way and his time, but we can begin to have that expectation for our prayer to be answered. God, you can do what you want when you want, but I trust you to meet this need. I trust you that in my situation, I already have the confidence in your word. You've already revealed your faithfulness to me. Now I can have that expectation. Thank you for your faithfulness, and I have that expectation that you can do it again. You can be faithful in my life again. I will not waver from trusting in you. In our hearts, we establish that our shepherd cares about us. In our faith, we begin to reach out to him. Now we need to wait on the Lord. Now we need that patience that I talked about last week. In Isaiah chapter 40, again, we're still in Isaiah, in verse 29 through verse 31, it reads, he gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord foresaw that his sheep would struggle and that they would fail. That is the ongoing story in throughout the Bible. The story of the Israelites was especially bad because the Israelites, again and again, especially as they went from king to king, that they would start to do good, but then the next king would come along and they would go back to the false gods. They would fail him. They would fail in their faith. And then the next king, and they would go back to having their faith in the Lord. And so we see the Israelites again and again, fail again and again, struggle again and again. In our own lives, when tough times come, virus forces your family to change lifestyles. These are tough times. It can be frustrating. It can be trying. It can be tiring, even. Perhaps the kids are getting on your nerves because they're home from school. Perhaps you've seen too much of your spouse. I hope not. I hope that's not how you feel. But perhaps you're worried about your job. Perhaps you're worried about your health. Perhaps, who knows? In these times, God gives strength. He gives strength to the young and to the old, to those who faint, to those who are weary, to those that utterly fail. The Lord is ready to renew their strength. To those that are in the midst, in the thick of the struggle, God is ready to bring a renewal of their strength. Do you need that today? Do you need God to renew your strength today? God is faithful. God is ready to do it for you even now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "For this reason we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day." Regardless of what goes on around you, regardless of whether the outward man is struggling, regardless of our circumstance and our situation that we are dealing with right now, regardless of all of that, you can still be strong in the Lord in the inward man. God in you, strengthening your heart, strengthening your emotions, strengthening your thoughts, strengthening your courage, strengthening your faith, strengthening the peace that He has in your heart. That God can strengthen you regardless of what's happening around you. God is still strong within you. This is a day by day, see that in the text there, day by day battle. Every day we need to seek the Lord. Every day we need to endeavor to put our trust in God. It is an everyday, day by day seeking of God, every day going to prayer, every day battle of getting that peace in our heart. Every single day. Just because you feel good today, just because you feel confident in the Lord today, tomorrow you need to go and seek the Lord again. Go to prayer. Seek God for His peace and His comfort again tomorrow. Go to Him in faith. We need to have this big God, a big faith in a big God. We need to do it every single day. Now here's the key to wait on the Lord. Again, in verse 31, we're back in Isaiah. "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their," what does it say, "their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Waiting on God indicates patience. For us to wait on the Lord, it's not, that particular word is not talking about necessarily serving, waiting on Him as an act of service. It's talking literally about waiting on the Lord, a patience in the Lord, having patience with God. But patience with God also means, in this context, means that we're also trusting in God. That faith that we were just talking about, that big faith in a big God, when we wait on the Lord, we are being patient and trusting, patiently trusting in the Lord. It can also be waiting on God to fill you with His presence, fill you with His peace in these struggles. Fill you with His joy. You seek God. You ask Him. You seek Him in prayer. "Lord, please give me Your peace and your wisdom and Your guidance today." But then we need to wait on Him for it. We need to have patience in God that He will give these things that we need in the time that we need it, to wait on Him. Do not get in a hurry with God. If you get in a hurry with God, you'll be running from His blessings. If you get in a hurry with God, you'll be running from His promises in His Word. Do not get in a hurry with God. Do not run right past the blessing and the promises. Do not run right past what God wants to do in your life. Learn to wait on Him. If you can, the Bible shows us you will rise like an eagle. You'll mount up with wings like an eagle. This is, of course, a metaphor, but it is a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. You'll be soaring through the storm, soaring over and through the storm, soaring over your problems. God provides the wings. All you got to do is soar. I praise the Lord for that. I don't have to provide the wings to soar through my problem. I don't have to provide the wings. God provides the wings, and all I got to do is trust in God and wait on God and go through my situation with God being my shepherd. Coming up to the side of God, Him being my shepherd, Him being my Lord, my trust, my peace, my patience, my hope in Him through my situation. I can't help but to get excited. You'll find it easier when you learn to ride on the wings of the Lord. You'll find it easier to go through life. Any struggle, any problem that we might face, whether it's the virus that we're facing now, or any struggle, any difficulty, we'll end up saying, what problem? You know, what do you think about the problem that's happened? What problem? What struggle? I don't have a struggle. I have a great big God. I don't have a problem. I have a great big God. But don't you see the problem right in front of you? Are you being blind to the problem? Are you being blind to the issues that we're facing right now? No, friends, I'm not being blind. I'm absolutely, absolutely aware of it. But I have a great big God who gives His peace and His comfort into my heart. I don't feel afraid, as we preached about last week. I don't feel afraid. I have God's comfort through every single problem, every single situation that I could face today. I watched a video of a 106-year-old woman. Her name was Fritzi Bryant. She is quarantined, and I believe it was her retirement home, could be a nursing home, I'm not sure, but out in Washington State. Now, Fritzi, this 106-year-old woman, she, because of the quarantine, she had, as of the last time I watched the video, she had no visitors. She was not allowed to have visitors. She said in the video, they asked her how things were going. She said, everything is fine here. Everything is fine here. And then she wanted to encourage them, and she said, just look on the sunny side of things, not the bad side of things. I love that. I love what that 106-year-old woman had to say. This woman that has gone through so much life, so many problems and situations in life. And here, everything is fine, even though she wasn't able to have visitors. Everything is fine. Just look on the sunny side of things, not on the bad side of things. When we wait on the Lord, when we put our trust in the Lord and wait on the Lord and He will renew our strength. When this happens, we start to see the sunny side of things, not the bad side of things. Yes, the problem hasn't gone away. Yes, the situation is still there. But I have a wonderful God who's taking care of me, who's seeing me through every single problem and every situation. These days and weeks can make us uncomfortable and frustrated. Our comfort and strength can easily be found in the Lord. The Lord cares about you. He is a good shepherd. Friends, family, church members and non-church members alike, I want to tell you today, God is a good shepherd. Begin to put a big faith in a big God. Wait on the Lord. and rise like an eagle over any and every problem that you could face today.